Hello, Not a Novel podcast fans. This is Grant, and continuing our summer distance podcast, I have one of the students in the English 149 multimodal composition class, Ashlyn here. Ashlyn, do you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. Yeah.
So, thank you. David and Hannah are actually having a vacation. So they'll be back in the fall and we'll resume normal podcasting. But to keep it going strong in the summer, we are spending the summer talking about fan fiction. And so Ashlyn and I are going to talk a little bit about us and a fan fiction that she's thinking of writing. And usually these conversations go in many directions. So we're going to start there and we'll see where it goes from there. So Ashlyn, do you want to talk about what you're thinking about in terms of a possible fan fiction for us?
So, when I thought of writing the fan fiction for us, it was mostly because that movie, I remember watching it coming out of the theater, and immediately I looked up, like, all the meanings of stuff, like, what other people thought of it, and there was just so many open holes in the plot that you can kind of plug with anything, and it could make sense, and there's so many, like, things that people construed it in like five different ways after watching the movie. And so I kind of wanted to take a direction of utilizing the fan ideas from that movie and like turning it into maybe a backstory or carrying on something that wasn't necessarily finished in the movie.
Yeah. And I forgot to preface it as we're talking about the Jordan Peele movie, directed movie, Us. Yeah. It's interesting that, you were compelled to kind of fill in some of those blanks. You know, it's such a large world that it gives you in the movie where it's only like this small part, but it kind of, it hints at, something larger. And, you know, what I'm interested in is, you know, of the kind of two Jordan Peele movies, you know, Get Out being the first one and mm-hmm. Us being the second one, it didn't feel to me like Us got as much press or as much, commentary yeah. as Get Out did.
And I agree.
Why do you think that happened?
Because I think with Us, there was less social points that Jordan Peele was trying to make in the film. Because what he kind of described Us as was basically just a regular horror movie with Black people as the main characters. And it wasn't anything really, derived from social, like a racial issue or injustice. It was just a normal scary movie with Black people as the leads. And so that didn't really, stir up a lot of press as like Get Out was when, you know, there's the notion of, white people using Black people and in order to have their bodies and like this crazy thing. And also it was his like premiere film. So I think that caused like a lot of just hubbub around the fact that this was the first film that he was making in regards to Us, which yeah. was a follow-up to that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You bring up a couple points like, you know, Get Out is kind of genre bending in a lot of ways. You know, there's, yep. it's a mystery, there's horror, there's social commentary. But, you know, there's also some, I think a lot of really subtle you know, societal commentary in us. And, you know, and I think of a lot of horror films that don't really, they're not as focused on kind of talking about, you know, people that we don't look, you know, we don't see, and yet our society needs them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like there's so many horror movies that, like just don't have any kind of real commentary. You know, there was a lot of, 80s horror movies that just, I don't know what they were trying to say, you know, like the, you know, I mean, in Jason Takes Manhattan, he goes to Harlem, and it's not poignant, you know. It doesn't have any kind of real commentary. It's actually
Harlem.
Kind of offensive, you know. Yeah, and you know, like what I find interesting is people always hold up Cabin in the Woods as this exemplar example of horror. Mm-hmm. Where it's like horror that understands itself. It's meta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get that, but it's not really that interesting in the end. You know, it's like, oh, well, stuff from the movies might be real. Okay, yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting. But something like Us that actually has something a little closer to real social commentary,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't get held up in the same way.
Yeah.
And, I'm really curious as to why.
Yeah. I think like in, Us reminds me of the movie Candyman. And I think when I watched Candyman, it was kind of like realizing like a different social undertone in the fact that the main character, in addition to Us, was also a Black lead, and like the pinnings of like maybe the bad guy isn't always like someone who's outside of your community, but someone right there within. Who looks just like you. So I think that was like an underpinning that you see in Us that you also find in like older movies such as Candyman for people of the Black community.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, I'm glad you brought up Candyman because I think it's really interesting. As I remember, the first Candyman takes place in New Orleans. Is that right?
The original story?
Do you remember? Yeah, the original.
Yeah. I believe so. And then I moved to like a rundown neighborhood. I think it was New York maybe or Chicago. I think I moved up north.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, I think that movie's really, really good because it's terrifying. It's like really like, you know, as a horror movie on its own, it's extremely terrifying. And that concept's interesting. But what my worry is that it didn't really get, I don't know. I think it was just because I think Candyman had like 3 or 4 sequels. You know, the poignancy of the narrative kind of got diluted over time. You know, mm-hmm. if you just would have had that original movie and about how, you know, America really needs to recognize the kind of violent past and the just atrocious things it's done to Black people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that first movie really kind of does something, you know, and it's also a white woman trying to understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some good, really good aspects to that, but it was all in the same time. There was like another horror movie in that same era. I think it was called Shocker or something like that. It was about someone that was incarcerated, that was, you know, a Black man that was, on the electric chair and gets electrocuted, and then he becomes, I think there's some kind of voodoo aspect to it where he becomes like electricity, and then he goes to take his revenge through like outlets of, you know, like toaster ovens and stuff like that. And I think, you know, like that movie has this really interesting potential to think about mass incarceration and, you know, the morality of killing another human being, right? Like, and the fact of the violence is perpetrated in that movie by white people on black bodies. But, you know, it gets lost in the kind of horror. Like, I feel like the horror genre is tough. It's like a Star Wars genre where it's like, it's these kind of white dude bros that kind of are the gatekeepers of it.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, on the other side, there's a movie I absolutely love called They Live. And it's a movie about literally there's these sunglasses that you can put on and you see ideology. And the movie is about you put these sunglasses on and you realize there's a bunch of aliens already living on in the world. And they're controlling everything. And when you put on the glasses, you see, like, you know, the money, instead of being like, you know, George Washington or whatnot, it's like, it says like, you are a slave to money. Or there's other, you know, there's like other things. There's like a billboard. It's like, buy and be unhappy or something. And it's interesting because they're glasses that literally reveal ideology. And it's so good, but it gets this bad rap because it was a horror flick, you know, a horror film.
And it kind of gets lost in this, the genre.
Yeah, and I often wonder why, you know, it gets lost in those sorts of things. I also think of did you see any of those Jordan Peele, the new Twilight Zones?
Have I? I've heard of it for sure. I just don't know if I've watched it yet.
Yeah. I mean, they're spectacular. Really? You know, my only beef with them is they have these nostalgic aspects where they're trying to harken back to the older series. See like what we would call intertextual elements. There's like, you know, there's like an ad from something or broken glasses or this wig. So there's all these kind of hints at it, but it's really interesting because I think it does some really good social commentary, especially about race. And it hasn't been very popular. And you know, it's really interesting to me why horror is not like the kind of genre that people like to engage race with, you know?
I always thought that was like...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I was about to say, I always thought about that. Oops. I always thought about that, but I never understood... kind of one why it was so hard for I guess race to be put in the horror category, or not to be put in necessarily, but to be a major topic like Jordan Peele does in his movies, because I feel as though that's a type of horror that's very realistic. Obviously,
because
they have movies about, you know, snakes on a plane and people scared of dying on an airplane, or people, you know, what is it, like those 72 days being stuck out in the wilderness, like very real type of realistic, like thriller kind of horror situations. I feel like race is and racism is a type of horror that can fit in that category, yet it's always a topic that's very hard to palate, especially for those who aren't used to it, or for those who experience it and are just tired of hearing about it. And so it being like put out there like that, I can see why it isn't necessarily received. And maybe sometimes it's just too real for people, and people don't like that in movies, because movies are supposed to be a form of escape. It's supposed to be a form of just getting out of the real world and going into a different one, and seeing a movie where real world stuff that are really hard hitting isn't necessarily what people want to see in their form of escape, I guess.
Yeah, but I think in one aspect, you know, everyone, I mean, how many Purge movies have there been? There's been probably like 5 or 6 Purge movies, you know, and in the Purge, at least, I think some of the reason why it's powerful is it's picking up on class, you know, solidarity, class warfare. Like, you know, it's a reality where the divisions between class are much more apparent and much more visible. And that seems to strike a chord with people. And so I think in some way, people are willing to kind of accept some sort of critical engagement in horror. But I think, yes, to your point, I think, you know, it has to do with this country not being able to deal with its past, you know, and, you know, the past of the United States is the past of violence on Black bodies. And it's so interesting to think about all of the monuments that are finally starting to go down, you know, or Mississippi's finally going to get rid of the you know, Confederate flag part of it. And it's just, I think what's always interesting, it's like when, you know, when does something hit a nerve? And it seemed like Get Out, because it has that element of the police, you know, like at the end where, you know, you're just like, oh no, the police show up. And then, you know, it turns out that it's Fred. And, but that turn, I think that turn, like, really kind of, you know, there was at least a moment about, you know, that people were willing to accept the violence of police on, you know, Black men, right? And Black bodies. And I think Us is so much more about systemic problems. And I think that's just, it's a little, you know, the police, you can see a visual symbol of that. And that's an easier thing to kind of latch on to, where, you know, I think a lot of people have problems looking at, like, well, what's the system that keeps those people below ground? You know, what is the system that creates this? That's a much harder thing to make the villain, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, it's much more like metaphorical and abstract in the Us movie in comparison to Get Out. And I think that's why, in comparison to Get Out, Us has a lot more leeway for interpretation. And I think that's why it's easier for me to write a fan fiction about that instead of Get Out, due to so many like abstract references, and some references that aren't even explained that still kind of boggle me why they were put in there. For example, like the Hands Across America, like the alluding to that in the beginning and the end. And like, I still don't get why that was in there. Or what was it? Like the rabbits, there's so many people saying like, oh, rabbits are, you know, always used in experimentation, and they were, the tethers were part of an experiment that went wrong, and that's why they have to eat the rabbits, because they're left over. But then there's like a video clip of Jordan Peele saying that rabbits kind of represent like two different people in the same body, how they appear so cute and cuddly on the outside, but when you really look in the eyes of a rabbit, they're kind of like a psychopath basically in hiding. And so some people kind of took that clip saying like, oh, the tethers are like our psychotic selves being pushed to the underground, and we put like our mask or what we want to present to people on the top. But then other people, other fans were kind of negating that, saying, well, how do we explain in that realm? How would you explain a serial killer or people in jail if the worst part of you is pushed into a tether?
Yeah.
So I thought that was.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, you know, there were another movie that came out that same year, The Favorite, also involved a bunch of rabbits at the ending. And it was very clear that the rabbits were being used in that same kind of aspect of this beauty. And it's, you know, and the accumulation of rabbits, like the fact that there's lots of rabbits, I think also says something about our culture in trying to kind of like, you know, gloss over anything by inundating an accumulation of cute things, right?
Yeah.
But I think you're bringing up a really interesting point about, I mean, there's two things that we can kind of think about. One is, you know, a lot of the times directors will have a vision for their movie and then, you know, the studio and everyone else cuts stuff out, you know, or you have the editor. And so sometimes, you know, those aspects that don't get answered sometimes are deliberate, but a lot of the times they're just like, you know, something that just got cut from the movie. In order to make the movie, you know, the length that the studio wanted it to be. But I think what's really interesting in the point that you're bringing up is, where is something like, you know, we could almost say some of that stuff is plot holes. And when does, you know, because there's certain movies that I feel people say, oh, well, there's plot holes in it and it's a bad movie. And then, you know, there's some movies that like over-explain and just become boring. You know, they just become a bunch of, you know, I don't know, just, you know, people talking and there's never anything that happens. I mean, what do you think is the good balance between making stuff in a narrative mysterious enough that, you know, watchers and readers want to fill in the blanks? And what would be the difference of like a film where, you know, there's blanks, but like, it's really just not compelling. And everyone's like, well, I don't really care. It's a plot hole.
Yeah. What I would think is, when watching Us in theaters, I think something that I noticed throughout the film was there were certain kind of things in the plot that, as the audience, you could figure out on your own, whether that was like early on or you figured it out over time or right when they wanted you to know, but you could still figure out certain things. And then there were other aspects that you kind of had to try a little bit harder to understand. And maybe you, like, after the movie, you had to talk to someone and then they explained it to you. And then there was other aspects where like no one knew what it meant and everyone's online like searching things up. And I think that was something that I thought was very smart in the movie, was making the audience feel as though they could figure it out on their own. And then when they couldn't, that made them think like, wait, what's happening? And it wasn't like a big plot hole that would cause you to not understand the movie, but it would be a plot hole that if you did find it or understand it, that it changed your interpretation of the movie and not necessarily your understanding of the main topics. In regard to like another movie that maybe you just, the plot was like going too fast, too slow, and then they added like those, trying to do those same type of plot holes, which leads you to not really get it at all because you can't even keep up with the main storyline. I like how Us did it.
Yeah. No, I think you're making a really good point. It's like the internal commentary plot structure is all kept consistent, you know, and these little threads that are off to the side that you can pull at don't unfold the plot, but they kind of like enrich it, you know, and they
exactly
they make the plot just more interesting, rather than, I think what you're getting at is like, you know, there's some of those bad movies that you just start to pull and then the entire plot falls apart.
Exactly. Like,
well, if that doesn't make sense, then that doesn't make sense, and then that.
Yeah. It was, I think the way they did it was just very strategic. And that's why I kind of liked certain fan ideas more than the original, like, idea that I had in my head. I think the major one that I think was pretty obvious, but, like, after, like, solidifying what it meant online after the movie was when the son, they talked about him possibly being switched when he was younger. And I brought that up in my email. I thought that was very interesting. Because I think that's, like, that's something that, going through it, I didn't pick that up at all. Because, and I actually had to rewatch the movie a couple days ago because I was just like trying to reconfigure my ideas of like me first watching it. And since it had been a while, I kind of had to go through it again. And him not being able to pick up like the fire trick and the fact that his tether was burned in his mouth and wasn't really explained. And how he didn't really have so much as a fear of his tether, like, killing him in the beginning as much as, like, a fear of his tether just, like, being... He wasn't that scared of his tether in general. I don't know how to describe it, but he wasn't as scared as everyone else. And so that kind of plays into the idea that maybe he's already met his tether when he was younger and switched out. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, to that point, that doesn't undo anything. You know, all it does is, like, add an extra layer of complexity to the movie.
Exactly.
Because then it kind of opens up an entire different, like, of, you know, if this happened before everything else, like, how much was all this planned, not, you know, by her, but him, you know? Yeah, that's I like that a lot. So, you know, I think another aspect that we can kind of think about in fan fiction too, because I think you brought it up, is, you know, the Jordan Peele as a director being more, a little more open with discussing what he's trying to do in the work.
Yeah.
You know, where there is a lot of authors and directors that just kind of say, well, you know, this is my piece of art, like, you make meaning out of it, you know? And I really appreciate the fact that he's involved in the meaning-making process. Because that can, you know, again, that can make the life of the text, like, just a little more, you know, a little longer, a little more substantial. I mean, do you also think, you know, because it has that kind of robust fan fiction community, is just because there's just not that many narratives that are centered on Black people, right? Like, there's not a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, like, the fact that Jordan Peele feels the need to engage the community is just because, like, there's probably just not a lot of narratives to do that with, you know?
Yeah, I agree there's not really a lot of Blackness within the realm of horror. And I think for a lot of Black people, seeing Jordan Peele step into that realm with Get Out, and that being such a hit, and everyone just like completely falling head over heels for what he did in his first film, going into Us, and like I talked about before, Us just not even being necessarily mainly about race, but just having Black people in the lead role kind of drew people into the film and what it encompassed. And so after that, I think since it drew so much attention, especially from a collective of people within that community, that kind of built up a lot of more fandoms within, like, just Jordan Peele films, even though it's only two, coming up to, I think, four soon. But I think that was a major reason. In addition to, I think, the way Jordan Peele does his horror is very different. And I'm no cinematic genius, but I just think the way he really presents his topics are very, very different from what I'm used to seeing. It kind of reminds me of like an M. Night Shyamalan, where a lot of his movies kind of have like a huge twist at the end, and you kind of never know it, but it's all, you just know it's going to be good. You just kind of wait for it. That's kind of the sense that I get from his movies. And I think that leads, like, he engages a lot with his fans, but he also doesn't give away everything to where he completely explains every single facet of his films. He kind of leaves stuff like, oh, well, that's a good, that could happen, or this could. And then sometimes he's like, oh, no, that doesn't really make sense with the plot, this or that.
Yeah.
So I think his engagement also plays into that.
Yeah, and I think that it's just, it's more than the twist, because I think that's what M. Night Shyamalan kind of got, you know, funneled into, you know, all of his movies need to have the twist. And I think, you know, Jordan Peele is just, I think, is just a much more sophisticated filmmaker. Like, I think there's certain parts, there's a part in the beginning of the movie where I think they're standing in the driveway and the father's can't really see them because the light's behind them, but you can see the shadow moves to like up the driveway, and their shadows overwhelm him. And it's just so interesting, like the way the camera moves with the light in that scene to kind of like, you know, the shadow moves to kind of show, you know, this encroaching darkness and problem that's going to happen later on in the movie.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's just, it's like, and some of the music, you know, like, because I was a kid of the late 80s and early 90s. And so, you know, there's a scene in the car where they're playing Five on it.
Yep.
And the kids are asking, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, the insistence of like trying not to tell the kids what that means. I think that's something interesting, because you know, you could read it as all these different ways. Like, that song came out during the 80s horror kind of golden age. And the song, you know, the song kind of harkens back to that era. But then this movie's doing some new work in complicating what horror is. And so I think, like, there's just some choices, again, like, that you can read in depth and that add complexity to the story that, like, I just don't think other filmmakers have.
Yeah.
You know, like, where you can dissect his scenes, and the scenes are, you know, just amazing.
I agree.
You know, I went to a conference for it, you know, and someone read the scene in Get Out in the sunken place as what social death looks like. And like, you know, taking a philosophical concept and then putting that visually and where people can get it, you know, because for a lot of philosophy, it's hard to kind of say it. And he's able to execute that in a movie, I think is just so amazing. And I think you're right. It's is this kind of perfect storm between him as a visionary and the craving for something else in that genre and more representation of Black people on screen. I think all of that, like, is this storm to kind of create this really nice fan fiction community around those works.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think the horror genre kind of really got into a rut of, like, Annabelle, The Conjuring, based off a true story, exorcism-style movies. And that was, like, kind of encapsulating every film that came out that was remotely scary. And then It came out, and then there was Get Out, and then there was Us. And I think those, It being a remake, but I think Get Out and, like you said, Us kind of reinvent and give something new to the audience, which I think people really fed into very fast, which led them to have, like, a lot of success. And also, I think the duality of the scenes, like you brought up too, or the duality of meanings within scenes, are just so apparent in, like, every single scene that it's so, there's so much that you can unpack and you can never notice the first five times watching it. And then you can finally get it. And then you find something else and another thing. 'Cause I remember having, like, the same way Five on It kind of had a similar meeting. I never really understood the scissors until I kind of read into, like, the type of scissors that they used and how, you know, they weren't the normal, like, right-handed, left-handed. They were equal-sided. And some people kind of attributed that to a sense of duality with, like, one side and the other. They're completely the same and connected. But the way the scissors move, they're obviously, when one moves, the other moves, but they're mirrored, stuff like that. And how that's basically the tethers. And I never would have ever figured that out without reading that online. And then that would make sense why every tether has a pair.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah. And you can even read that into Du Bois's double consciousness. You know, like, you can read those things into Black philosophers and how they thought about what it means to be African American and what it means to exist, you know, outside of the diaspora. Right. And so, yeah, like, the movie just keeps on giving as long as you, you know, keep investigating it. And I mean, that should always be the threshold for what is a great piece of art. You know, it's something you can just always go back to and it gives you more, right?
Yes, I agree. It's, like, never ending. There's always something new.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up here, if you have not seen Get Out and Us, you really should see them because they are both really just amazing movies. Some of the best movies that have gone out in the last 10 years. But Ashlyn, do you have any last thoughts that you want to share?
Last thoughts? Probably just everyone go see Us and then you can read my fan fiction.
That sounds amazing. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking with me.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
No problem. And we will be back tomorrow for another episode. So stay tuned.